turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. We're going to finish up on these two mysteries. I hope today, if not, we'll finish up definitely next week. And we're still in the battle, in the war. Still teaching on warfare. And Lord willing, next week we're going to try to do a recap and go over all the things we've looked at so far in the last year. And we're going to probably move into looking at the Holy Spirit. And without Him to guide us and teach us and strengthen us in this world, we definitely would not have any hope for being able to cope with the problems and stuff that we have in this life. We're no match. And I'm no match for the guy I meet in the mirror every morning. I certainly ain't no match for the devil and Satan. He's powerful. We kind of looked at it over and I love to look over in Job and God talks about old Leviathan. And I said, old dragon, the devil. And he said, lay your hand on him. He said, Job, you think you a match? You think you can handle him? No. And I try to remind myself of that. And I'm not going to get, and I'm not going to put my mouth on him. I'm not going to talk to him. He comes bothering me. I'm like old Brother Ed Blue said, let your big brother answer the door. Amen. Don't try to take on the devil. So we're going to try to finish up on this. We looked at these two mysteries together. Babylon, the great mystery Babylon, and blindness in part, which had come to Israel. And reason why I did that because they seem to be coupled with each other. Judah had did the same thing that Israel had done. They turned away from God. They had went into unbelief, and they started worshiping and serving other gods. And God said, for this cause, He said, I'm gonna put you under the rule of the Gentile nations. And they have been ever since. They have been ever since. He said, well, now they're a free nation now. You think so? you really feel like they're free? Every nation in the world wants to get rid of them. And we alone have been an ally to them. And I just wonder how much longer that's going to last. I know our president, this present time, he has no love for them. But he has not been able to probably do what he would like to do as far as Israel. But I promise you, the day will come, America will turn its back on Israel. I have no doubt that that's going to come. The Bible said that every nation's hand will be against them. And I believe America will do the same thing. Woe unto us in that day. We got a lot of things. We got a lot of problems in the country. The Sodomites have taken over the land. They're taking the land. It's like everything in the world is about making sure that they get what they need, what they want, you know. That's going to mean, you can mark it down, that's going to mean, I don't know this is going to happen, but I think there's a good chance after this election, whoever goes in, there's a good chance that within the next 4 years, there will be hate crime laws placed in this country. And when preachers stand up, it'll be just like in Canada, stand up to preach against these sins, that you can be arrested if somebody complains, turns you in. And be like a lot of those pastors that got arrested up in Canada were preaching the whole counsel of God that sodomy was still wrong. And I don't know if we got any in jail at this time, but I know at one time there were several preachers that were sitting in jail. I just hope that whatever happens, that we don't roll over and say, well, we can't tell the truth anymore. I hope that we'll have some backbone about us, that we'll stand no matter what. Hey, it's like old brother, another thing Brother Ed said. He said, they'll put you in jail until at least it'll be an American jail. Amen. It's better than most of the jails in the country and around the world. You'll be in American jail. You'll be in there for doing what's right. Amen. You'll have a captive audience. You'll have a group you can witness to every day by the grace of God. And if they kill you, you'll be in heaven. Amen. That's the good part. Amen. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 3, and begin reading verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, I want you to keep that word right there in your mind through this morning. Calling. Nobody can come to Jesus except the Lord draw him. Nobody. And it's by invitation only. Amen. Salvation is by invitation only. You can't climb up there by yourself. God, the Holy Spirit, He's moving across it. That's the reason why I always tried, when I'm on visitation, I always try to pray, God, send me where you're working. Guide me. Now, you witness to everybody. You know, you witness to everybody. But it's a whole lot better when you're out there and the Holy Spirit is directing you to who you need to go talk with.
Amen.
Always better. Now, you witness to everybody. Whether they're going to listen or not, hey, it's a testimony to them. But that word calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, a lot of people don't think of Jesus as an apostle, but he was sent. And that's the reason why he was an apostle. He was sent. He had a specific mission that God sent him to do. Come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He gave the nation of Israel, they were given an invitation to repent, turn to God, and receive the kingdom. But they would not. They rejected the king, said, crucify him. And he was sent, and not only was he sent for that, but he was sent according to his promise that there would be a Redeemer who would come and die for the sins of the world. Thank God that he fulfilled his apostolic commission, came and did that which God had seen him to do. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Now, that's a good one for the Jehovah's Witness. We just saw right there, who built the house? He said, Jesus Christ. And it said right here, and he that built all things is God. I mean, poor people can't see that Jesus is God in the Scriptures. They got their eyes closed. They're blind. See, you don't have to be in Israel to be blind. We're going to see that God is blinding the minds of the Gentile nations at this time for their rejection. God, you reject God's Son, God's going to deal with you. I mean, it ain't about our sins that God is dealing with us about. It's about our rejection of Jesus Christ. We have manifold sins because we've rejected the Lord in this country. They've rejected Christ. They said, we don't need him. We're above that. We're smarter than that. We'll leave that for the ignorant, common people to believe and trust and accept that. We are higher than that. You know, we are our own gods, and we can establish religion as it pleases us. And that's what's happening in America and all over the world. I mean, God spoke to Israel right before Nebuchadnezzar. He gave them one more final chance. He knew what they was going to do, but he said, "My hand is stretched out still," and his hand stretched out to us too today. Amen. Do you think America's going to take that hand? I don't either. I think they're going to slap it. We don't care nothing about that. I see no sense of this country wanting to turn to God. There, I think there's some people out here, there's some churches out here, there's some people out here that have a sense, see the need of finding help from somewheres, and some of them are going to turn to God. But there's always a remnant. And when it gets dark, that remnant is going to shine more because, hey, you take a dark spot, man, just a spark shows up, you know. And there's a little bit of fire burning still yet. And that's the only thing is probably keeping judgment off. But notice it, and Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for testimony of those things which would be spoken after. And Jesus came as a servant as well. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. I want you to keep that phrase in your mark, in your mind. A heart of unbelief. That's what Israel had done. They had rejected their God. They rejected God, and now they were moving into unbelief. Let's look at Romans chapter 1 with that in mind right quick. Let's look at something about this verse applies across the board to all peoples who desire not God. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. And we live by the faith of the Son of God. And when that faith is imputed into us, then God takes this Bible, the word of faith, and produces faith in us to do the work that God has for us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So this world is without excuse. They can say they don't believe in God all they want to. There was a time that they knew that there was God. There was a time. Now, they might reject it. They might decide that they don't want to believe in God, but Jesus Christ lights every man to come to this world. He gives him a measure of faith. He knows that there's something there. He might not know who God is. He might not know who Jesus is. But there's something in him. Jesus Christ puts a light in him and says he needs something. And if he'll respond to that light, God will give him more light. If he turns from that light, and Jesus is the light. If they turn from that light, then God, their foolish heart will be darkened. Because that God may be known of God as manifest in him, but God has showed in them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. I mean, that's clear, is it not? Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up. See, that's why the sin is abounding in this nation today. Notice what he said. Because, you see, when they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and he gave them up. See, without God restraining us, without God restraining this nation, when he gives them up to do what's in their heart, then this is going to get nasty. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get filthy. And that's why sin is abounding. Because of our country's rejection of the Lord. They're not rejecting the Lord because they're sinners. They're becoming sinners because they've rejected the light that God has given. That's why sodomites are everywhere now. They don't want this country don't want nobody telling them what to do. They want to do whatever they want to do. They want to listen to their own counsel. They do not want no. Hey. They want to be their own gods. And in doing so, they're going to worship and serve Satan because they become a servant unto sin. They change their glory into the uncorruptible God in an image made like the corruptible man, where God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You know, every other version I've looked at, other than the New King James, every one I've looked at, that word is it says who changed the truth. That ain't what it says. It says they exchanged. They didn't want it. They didn't want to put in there that the Bible that they had put their hands on, put their mind on, and changed, they did not want that in there. So they didn't put changed. They said exchanged or withheld or whatever. You know, anything but other than saying that the word, the Bible, had been changed. I got news for them. They can say it however they want to. It's been changed. Amen. And God said they changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, you ain't going to change Jesus. You can take this book right here and write out another one and put lies in it. You can do that. We know that's true because they're everywhere. And it'll still contain the Word of God. But it's not the Word of God anymore. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Huh? And there's poison in it. And it's killing churches all across America. Now, I ain't saying all these people are lost. There's enough, I tell you what, you can get an NIV or RSV or whatever you want to, and I can take that, and there's enough word in there for a person to get saved. But there's also enough poison in there to keep him from ever doing anything for God. It cripples. And, man, that's... Look, you can look, and when they brought in that revised version, at that time, England was the power that was getting the gospel around the world. They were in front of us. Now look at them. Less than 3% of the entire population goes to any kind of church. That includes Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or whatever. And now the majority of them are what? Are turning to what? They turn to Islam. Islam's taking the country. Wonder how long before Islam takes this country. They say there was an average 1,000 minarets going up in this country a year. Find out how many churches are going to the wayside during that time. And you can thank people like Obama and stuff that said, come on in. Come on in. Anyway, then I'm not going to go into all of the filth that happens. They begin to worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And that's what we're doing today. We say, people talk about God, but when they're talking about God, they're talking about themselves. They're just like that old... Pharisee and the publican went up to pray, and then the Pharisee prayed within himself. He didn't pray to God. He prayed within himself. Who was he praying to? Praying to himself. He said, I thank God. He said, I thank me that I'm not like him. Huh? That one old fellow over there, he was a good sinner. He said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, God. I recognize. I know what I am. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And God saved me. We need some good sinners today. Good, honest people just admit that we got problems. God can work with that. When you get people thinking they're okay, everything's all right. You look at this world today and you think everything's all right. You look at the United States of America, you think everything's all right. You look at the conditions of the churches in this country, and we think everything's all right. It ain't all right. Man, we need help. We're in a war, and we need to get that in mind and stay. I don't care how far down we go. If the people will stand, I think about over there in Mighty Men of David. Where a man would stand in a bean field with a sword by himself, just him and God, stood and killed 300 men in a bean field. You know what I'm saying? I mean, or what God can do with a sinner like Samson. And Samson wasn't even right with God, but he believed in God. He believed in God. He knew that God was true and he was real and he believed in him. And God used him to take a jawbone of ass and stand and slay 1,000. Amen? Piled them up. Come on up here. I can see him. They just walk up there and he goes, bow. God just sent him up there. You think he was some kind of expert? You know, jawman? You know, not a swordsman, he was a jawman. You know, I think God led them up there. God just marched them up there, and he just whacked them in the head. Piled them up. That's the way I see it. It might not be that way, but that's the way I see it. God Almighty use him. It doesn't, the Bible said, by many or few, God doesn't need a crowd to win the battle. A handful. A handful can make a difference. Two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, there I am in the midst. Hey, one and God makes the majority. One and God makes the majority. If a man sticks with God and the whole church goes the other way, God says, he's the majority. I'm going with him. Y'all go do your own thing, okay? God says, we're getting a victory, and, well, y'all in trouble with what you is. But let's take our Bibles now. Let's look over in Romans. Romans 8. Romans 8 and 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts, that's why I want you to see that, he that searches the hearts. You see, God's looking at the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Again, I want you, there he is. God called them to this place. The reason why I want you to see that, because he called Israel, sent Jesus, he called them. You remember? He bid them come to the supper. You remember? He made a big feast. He had a house. He got it prepared. He said, come. And what did they do when he called them? They made excuses. You know, the Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. God tries the heart. The Holy Spirit, we see the Holy Spirit there. He knows the heart. He's looking at the heart. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now, the reason why I'm looking at this in light of them he called, because, you see, when he called Israel, they wouldn't come. So he said, so he sent his servants out and he told them to do what? Whoever. Yeah. Anybody. Whoever will come. Halt, lame, blind, sick, You see, he tried the hearts. He knows. God knows who wants him and who don't. He knows. He knew it from the foundation of the world. Our God's not a little God. Our God is not a man. He's not the smartest man. He's not just the smartest creature. He's not just brilliant. God is omniscient. He knows it all. All the time. Before it ever happened. He knows. You think that somehow, and this is the way I hear it taught many times. I see it in songs. I hear it in preaching. It's just like, oh, you know, God made man, you know, and boy, he was, you know, and then the devil got by and snuck one past him. You know what I mean? He come in there and tricked man, got him to sin. God said, oh, what am I going to do now? Who'll go? Who'll go help him? Who'll go save him? No. It was already laid out. Before the foundation of the world, Christ slain from before the foundation of the world. And we were called from the foundation of the world. I couldn't hear it. It don't make no difference. The call went out. And whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to his image. God had already knew what he was going to do. I believe every person has a free will choice to come to God. I believe that. But God knows everybody that will, and he knows everybody that won't. That's really what the Bible can say, and I like to tell that to these hyper-Calvinist Baptists that I'm running to today, because they say Jesus Christ died for the sins of many. But he also said he died for the sins of all. And I understand that all don't always mean all. Sometimes all means all of a certain group. I understand that. And that's what they say that all means. But my Bible said he died for the sins of all men. And that kind of includes the bear, because if there's a man whose sins he didn't die for, then he didn't die for the sins of all men. If it said he died for the sins of all that he chose, I would have understood that. I could have said, you're correct. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows who will be. And that's the reason why he said he died for the sins of many. You see, some he died for more than others.
That's right.
Because those that reject him, you know, even though he died for their sins, they're not going to be part of the body, are they? Just because when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You ever known Jesus not to get a prayer answered? You think that God didn't hear that prayer or didn't answer that prayer according to his mouth? He forgave them for what they done. They were forgiven for that. They were forgiven for crucifying. They were forgiven, hey, for rejecting him. He forgave them for that. But I'm going to tell you something. The invitation went out, and if they didn't receive it, they weren't going to be forgiven for that. Once Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, they had to accept it, or they were going to be cut off. People don't go to hell because they're liars and thieves and murderers. People go to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People are liars and murderers and thieves because they've rejected God. I don't know. I mean, I know anybody. I know I can do anything that I did before I'm saved. I know that, because I've done some of it. But you say, well, then you ain't saved. I know better than that. I know why I'm saved. Not because I'm a good man, or because I don't sin anymore. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's it. That's the only thing I got going for me. That's it. So we see right here, now, the elect rejected him, but we were put into the elect through Jesus Christ, who died for us from the foundation of the world. He made a way. They rejected Jesus Christ, and so now blindness is coming upon them. Look in 9, chapter 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness, continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise, whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. See, that's who he came for. But they rejected him. He didn't come for the Gentiles. He said, well, he came for us all. No, he came to redeem Israel. We got in by grace. Amen? Because God's gracious, not willing that any should perish. But he came for Israel. And when he comes back, guess who it's going to be for?
Israel.
For Israel. He's coming back for Israel to sit upon the throne. And the Bible said, and all Israel shall be saved. The one that makes it through the tribulation, the one that made it through, every one of them is going to turn to God, according to my Bible. He said, well, you think that's all of them? Yeah, well, he said, and all Israel shall be saved. But we know also that Jesus said, not all as Israel is Israel. See? There might be some of them that ain't Israel that is Israel, so to speak. You know what I mean? Israel's believers. So there might be some of them that ain't. I can't say that. All I know is when he comes, everybody that's part of the Israel of God is going to be saved when Jesus Christ comes back. He's going to get them all. Whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. I didn't even know that verse was next. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And this is a word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. As it is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, this ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Okay? This is talking about a people that God had called for himself. He rejected Esau. That doesn't mean that Esau went to hell. I don't know where he went. That's between him and God. Now, one thing I know, he believed in God. When God appeared to him and told him not to lay his hands on his brother, he went down there and hugged his neck, didn't he? So, I mean, that's between him and God, and salvation is an individual matter. I was reading this past week through the Old Testament. I was seeing some things that was blowing my mind. I'd never seen them before. God, do you know that God went with Moab? He went with them, went before them, and destroyed those people whose land they inhabited. Did you know that? He It's in the Bible, just like he did for Israel. He went with them, went up with them, and destroyed their enemies before them and gave Moab land. I never knew that. He did the same thing. He did the same thing for Esau's family. When they took Mount Seir and those giants were in there, God went before them. You see, God does whatever he wants to. You think he would have did that if he didn't care anything about those people? He had a plan. You say, are they saved? I don't know. That's between them and God. God looketh on the heart. Didn't we just read that? That's what he's looking for. A heart towards him. That's all I know. I'll leave that up to God. Where he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, whom he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith in the Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Now, I think it gets real plain right there. Nobody comes to God on their own. God calls them. It's not to him that willeth or to him that runneth. It's God that showeth mercy. And God in his foreknowledge knows who will. Old Paul wanted to go, but he wanted to go down in, basically, he wanted to go towards China. He wanted to go into the Far East.